Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton and Josh Rhubarb Brown. It's playoff time, boys. How are you doing, fellas?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We made it through today.
Made it through? We won today. We won the five-hour slobber knocker.
Yep.
And it's called a slobber knocker because ESPN spent the first 2.5 hours slobbering all over Trevor Bauer's knocker. It's called that.
Can you blame him though?
He was pretty good. I don't mind the slob on Trevor. It was the ignoring of Max that felt a little bit.
But was he better than Max today though?
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
So why? Why was he better than Max?
Max got out of some jams. He got guys on base and stuff like that.
In the first inning.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Whatever. It was a great game, though. It was a great game.
What's the point of the game, Josh? Is the point of the game to strike people out, or is the point of the game to keep people from scoring runs? Because it looked to me like
I'm just glad Snicker pulled him at 77 pitches because, you know, that's a lot. That's a lot. Now, you know, is he going to recover from 77 pitches? He's got until next spring, so hopefully he'll be okay.
Actually, he has until
77 pitches
round of playoffs.
Is a lot. That's the longest he's pitched this year.
If he comes in a Madison Bumgarner situation on game three?
He's a young man. He's a young man, and I'm just glad that they took him out after 77 pitches.
Also, Ken, point scorer important? I don't think so. This is 2020. Like, get out of here with that antiquated thinking about baseball. Like, yeah,
Run differential. Yeah. Do you even listen to our podcast?
It's the expected runs scored that matters.
Do you even know me and JT?
I was
going to
say, run differential is the...
Are they weighted runs or just normal runs?
Run differential is actually accurate in this game.
Yeah, you don't even... First of all, we have to weigh them against the other league runs today before we can formulate an opinion about today's game. Do you even listen to our podcast, Kent?
I think you're on the wrong podcast, Josh. I know you.
What are you talking about?
I know you moonlight on other shows. I know you moonlight on other shows frequently, but this is not that show.
Important.
Just being clear. Yeah. That being said, Max Fried was fantastic today. He had a little trouble in the first. He got out of it. No big deal.
Not as good as Trevor Bauer, but he's fantastic.
Good
great.
For him. On the week of Rosh Hashanah as well. That's awesome.
Shout out to our Jewish bud, Max's fried chicken for Rosh Hashanah. Trevor Bauer was solid, but, I mean, like, he was fantastic. He struck people out left and right. This is not taking anything away from Trevor, but at the point of the game, it's not necessarily just to strike people out.
No, he struck them out all
right.
You're
right. Strikeouts are way overrated. Like, we don't, you know, who cares about strikeouts?
Well, Greg Maddux didn't. I'm just saying there's more than one way to accomplish the same goal, Josh.
Yeah. I mean, we shouldn't give it, you know, Trevor and
who won the game?
11
who won the game? The Braves struck out 21 times. The Braves struck out 21 times today. Yeah. The Reds struck out 16 times. Yet, who won the game?
AJ Minter.
That's a very astute observation there. JP.
I love how small ball won the game too in the end because I'm sure y'all were at least the Twitter's funny because first of all, like A-Rod is an absolute twat. I can't stand A-Rod. And a lot
he's
of the
a
stuff
terrible
he says,
announcer.
Oh, he's horrible. He's horrible. Oh, and when he says lines like play the game the right way. I want to stab him in the face. Game
well, I mean,
right?
Here's,
of all people, right?
Like, hang A-Rod on, hang on, advocating hang on, for money.
Yeah, right. And then he uses Hank Aaron as an example for that, right? Well, Hank Aaron bunted like twice after he was 19 years old or something. Like, A-Rod, somebody talked about it on 680 The Fan, the post-game show. I listened on the radio / the Bluetooth speaker / the 680 The Fan app. A-Rod, his last 15 years, never bunted.
Yeah, I think I saw Grant McCauley tweet that in 2,756 professional at-bats or something close to that, A-Rod never bunted
but,
at all.
But
he didn't put that in his body to bunt, buddy.
But aside from that, A-Rod was talking about, you know, less is more, you know, don't try to kill it, you know, small ball. He talked about how, you know, Joe Torre, when he was his manager, he said this one time Torre would whisper in his ear and remind him of, like, the way Murph did it. And I mean, I actually enjoyed some of that.
He did?
I know
that was
he's
weird.
A total twat, but he was right, though, in some of that, because he, you know, as we saw all day today, because the strike, there's at least 35 strikeouts last time I stopped counting.
They combined it 37. Combined 37 strikeouts.
Yeah, these guys, everybody was trying to kill it on both sides. And so A-Rod, you know, he was, I think he was.
No, because I was screaming.
And that's
at the
how
TV
they won the game.
Because they looked tight for the longest time. We'd come to the plate, and it looked like every guy was trying to hit a 3-run homer in one.
Yeah. Off really good pitching. Yeah. And obviously, and we've seen him pitch against or bat against the best this year, too. Okay. But, like, it was really good pitching on both sides.
Yeah.
The Reds were doing it, too.
I think the mindset, it, for me, when I look at it, is Trevor Bauer. He's probably going to win the Cy Young or at least be second. It's one of the two. It's either him or DeGrom. That being said, I think the mentality of the Braves was we are not going to be able to play small ball against Trevor. He's not going to give up three hits in a row. Like, that's not going to work.
Yeah, we got to work.
So we're going into this. We're going to put one over the fence when he makes one mistake, and that's going to be how we win the game. Like, I truly believe that was probably the philosophy for the most part of what they were trying to do today. Now, I mean, okay, that's not all you're doing. Obviously, you're looking for a hit. But I'm just saying, I do think the mentality is Trevor Bauer's not going to give us a lot to hit. It's going to be hard to string together three or four hits that manufacture a run.
To me, just as a Braves fan, it brings back so many memories of a team that has a decent offense all through the year. And then you get in the playoffs, and it's like you're banking on a 3-run homer. You know, you get runners first and second, and then it just fizzles. Because we don't do the little things. We don't do the small ball things. Bobby Cox was always, you know, a criticism of him was he builds these lineups that are just hoping for a 3-run homer, which, hey, those are great. No one's complaining if you get it, but you have to remember to do the little itty bitty things that are going to manufacture runs. And I sound like old man yelling at the cloud here, but the productive outs and how big was that? You know, coming to the bottom of the 13th inning, how big was, who was it that got the hit to the right side of the infield and put Pache on third or didn't get the hit, but the force out. Yeah. I mean, that was probably the second biggest play of the game, you know?
Yeah, that was Acuna. Yeah. Acuna drove the ball to second there. But, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I get the frustration watching it. Because I felt frustrated, like, God, we're striking out.
Seemed
tight. But then again, there's a part of me that says, okay, yeah, that's Trevor Bauer, too.
Yeah.
And their bullpen's no joke. Like, their bullpen's not the Florida Marlins bullpen. You know what I'm saying? It's not the New York Mets bullpen. Their bullpen's pretty solid. And their bullpen's also built around strikeouts. So it's pretty tough to come in there and just, you know, string together a lot. That being said, I do feel like tomorrow you got a lot better chance with Luis Castillo out there pitching. He's good. He's not Trevor Bauer good. You know what I'm saying? Like, Castillo is a really good pitcher.
Sonny Gray is going to be tough.
On Wednesday, well, you're assuming that
we'll see him next year.
We'll see him next year.
I think, I hope this will be, you know, a 100-pound gorilla off the back and will allow him to loosen up, because it did seem they were tightly wound, played tight, and hopefully this will give him some breathing room. So, okay, like when Darnold came up, I think it was the 11th, when Darnold got a single, and it was the first time all game it looked like a batter was just relaxed and composed. And he just
even
took the ball where it went.
Really uptight.
And that was refreshing to see. You know, okay, well, that looked like a bat where we just felt comfortable in our own skin and weren't trying to press anything. Because it felt like we were pressing a lot of that game.
Yeah, and I think some of that's playoffs. I mean, it's just, it's playoffs, welcome to the playoffs, everything's tight. And I will also say that umpire sucked. He sucked. The outside 6 inches of the plate were a strike.
But we were getting
the
call too. I mean, to be fair, we got that call too. Shane Green got a couple calls. Shane Green had at least one or two that were way out there.
But again, Shane Green wasn't even in the game, but like three
but
batters.
Dansby's complaining about that call in the 12th inning. At the 12th inning, you got to know he's calling that, and you need to make adjustments as a hitter. Like,
yeah, but it was inconsistent. That was my problem with it, was he would call it on one batter and he wouldn't call it on the next. It was very inconsistent, because you were talking about Shane Green. AJ Minter got the call. Shane Green didn't, and vice versa. Or maybe I'm saying that backwards, but either way.
Dude, how about AJ Minter, y'all? Lowest ERA amongst lefty relievers in baseball. What?
Yeah.
Dude's a stud.
I didn't even know that was going on. I mean, honestly, I haven't watched that many games. I'll be honest. Today was the
He's
first
been a different guy this year. I don't know that car wreck he had last year that seemed to bother him. I don't know what kind of lingering injury he had, but he was not the same last year.
I think it's all
this
fishy caught all spring.
It could have been. Maybe it's that Morgan Wallen mullet he's got going on. That too. I'm a fan. Yeah. I'm a big fan of that. If he comes back with a normal haircut next year, we got to send him home.
Do you think he flat irons it? Like, I'm pretty sure he flat irons it, right? Like,
there's
it's a
no
flat
way.
Iron mullet.
No, he doesn't touch. He doesn't flat iron it. Come
yeah,
on,
it's
stop.
Flat iron.
Stop.
It's 100%
stop.
Flat iron.
It's a thing of beauty, for real.
You think AJ Minter flat irons his mullet? Seriously.
100%. 100%.
Stop. He doesn't flat iron his mullet.
Think no his way. Hair's naturally that straight? It's never been before.
I don't know. I haven't really noticed it that much, but Lord,
yeah,
look
it up. I think it's
if
flat
AJ Minter flat irons his mullet, like I can't let that go.
I'm just saying.
Let's
I
get
think
Luke
he does.
On the show and ask him. Luke would know.
Luke would know.
I thought about inviting Luke on the show tonight since he's not part of the team.
Man, that's just not cool, Josh. That's mean.
Hey, man, you're not doing anything, mate.
Seriously. Yeah. Also, I love how. I love how, like, when they pan to the crowd in the battery, you know, everyone's just hanging out, no mask, like normal human beings, because, you know, they probably are normal human beings. And then you go to the stadium, and there's no one in there, you know, so you can get COVID. Apparently, you're not COVID safe while sitting inside a stadium, but you're safe from COVID sitting in a camp chair in the
battery. Well, people were a little socially distanced at the battery.
I don't know what video feeds you saw, no, but I saw none.
I think everybody just dropped off their kids like it's a daycare. Like, it was just a bunch of 8-year-olds running around.
They showed it at one point after like 3:30 or 4, and they mentioned that. Like, oh, the kids got out of school. And it was funny because you noticed a huge difference.
I want to see like a soccer-level watch party at the battery when the Braves are in the next round and people are watching it, and it's just like packed wall-to-wall with people watching it.
We'll be at John D. Howard's house later in October.
In the World Series.
I don't want to jinx it, but like there's some dates that will be
Josh,
there. That
I
will...
like Josh. I like how that you are actually a Braves fan, but you get into the postseason and like as a defensive mechanism, you pretend to hate everything about the Braves that you've loved for the entire season. And I can't tell if it's because you like being a troll and not like anyone else, or if it's truly a defensive mechanism for your heart being broken for so many years by the Braves.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that I'm with JT in that it's the Braves. If the Braves led in every single category, no demand. If they had like the best pitching staff, you know, it doesn't matter because it's the Braves. Look what has happened for so long, right? Also. Yes, it's a defensive mechanism. That's correct. Yeah.
I mean, look, you tell a Falcons fan, hey, man, you're up 17 with 6 minutes left. You guys are going to get the win. That's awesome. What's a Falcons fan going to say to you? No. You know, I've seen this movie before.
Yeah, but
I feel the same way about the Braves.
So I get it. But isn't that kind of like just being a fan? Because 29 teams lose every year.
Guilty as charged. Don't care.
Hey. No. Like, I'm not insulting you. I'm just saying, like, can't every fan say that, though? It's not just a Braves thing. Because look, I get the Yankees win a lot because they paid a lot of money. But they still haven't won since, what, 99, 2003? I don't remember what year it was. It's been a while since the Yankees won it.
2009.
It's not like a magic thing where one team goes in every year and they just get what they want. Everybody gets the whole, man, it's my fandom is always going to be ruined. I mean, imagine being a Dodgers fan where you've made it to the World Series multiple times and haven't been able to finish.
If a Patriots fan tries to talk to you about heartbreak, I'm like, shut up, loser. Get out of here. But no, you're right. I mean, look, it felt like, for the longest time, this is a movie I've seen before. Only difference was today, the ending turned out different. Because this is a game that you've seen the Braves lose in the playoffs where you just go, oh my God, you know, we got three hits and shut out over 13 innings. The ending was different. Now, will that carry over? Let's see. But it felt good to finally be on the winning side.
Josh, you mentioned inviting Luke on the show because he's not on the roster. We have to talk about this because the rosters came out and they cut like half the team and added all new people.
Savage.
So you thought Luke. Snicker was going to mess this up by playing Ender at the wrong time by bringing Snicker.
I didn't say anything about Ender.
By bringing Luke into the game at the wrong moment.
100%. 100%.
And
yeah.
By, yeah. So then they end up cutting Echeverria. They cut right. Luke, and they cut whoever I just said, Ender. There we Ender. Go. And then they bring in Pablo. They bring in Camargo back. They bring Charlie Culberson back.
And Clutcherson, yeah.
And they add
basically
Pache.
Did exactly what I would have done or that I wanted them to do, but not what I thought they were going to do. Honestly, and I know you told me, and I'm wrong. I don't mind being wrong, but like I just thought based on the last, you know, several weeks, even though I haven't been watching, I've been keeping up with it a little bit. I could see them putting Luke on the roster, you know, and if they did, I really think Bryce Nick would have a hard time not using him.
Well, no, I do agree with your thought. I think if you put him on the roster, that Snit's going to use the people on the roster because that's what you do.
That's
in a
all I was
game,
saying.
You
know? Yeah. That's all, but, and I know that was a little bit of a slight at Brian Snitker, and I'll own that. And I love Brian Snitker, but I do think that
he pulled all the right levers today. Like, I know you didn't like pulling Freed at 77 pitches, but that was the right move. He had had a little hiccup the inning before. When you got the bullpen that you got now, that's the right move. You know, I mean, heck, they threw out Shane Green in the 13th, you know, or whatever inning it was.
I did think, and I texted you guys, honest to God, I did think around the 11th.
You thought Batsick.
No, not really. I thought, oh, Lord, Snitker's going to burn through his bullpen. While having a DH, what a dingus! And I really thought he was going to do that, and then he didn't. So
yeah, what about Matzik or Nutsack, as we should call him? Matzik, good lot, good
dude, dude was out of baseball.
Yeah,
from like 2015 through like relatively recently, played in like some indie leagues, and just so the listeners know, that's not like minor leagues. Indie leagues is like below minor leagues. It's like it's like 32-year-olds out in Iowa, you know. Making a few hundred bucks a month kind of deal, really. And so, like, dude came from that to this?
Incredible. It's been overlooked, but the dude's pitched 29 innings this year for the Braves. He struck out 43 people. Now, that's not counting today. In 29 innings, that's 43 strikeouts. That's phenomenally good. You know, like, that's top-tier reliever-type stuff. He did have a little bad luck because he came into games a couple times with men on base and ended up, like, giving up letting a guy score or something, so it felt like Matzik gave up runs even when he really didn't cause the problem. But, God, he was good today, man. The bases – he came in with men in scoring position and shut it down, and then he gave up singles and got men in scoring position, ended up loading the bases and still got out of it. He was so good. He was so good. Struck out the side in his last inning. I mean, you know, it wasn't in order, but he struck out all three outs were strikeouts. So
I like Matzik too because he's ugly.
He is
everyone,
ugly.
Everyone else is so cute. I mean, really, it's the cutest bullpen I think I've ever seen. You got like,
Matzik
Green,
is going to be the
Shane
best
Green?
Car salesman when he retires. He's going to be totally a used car salesman.
Exactly.
What?
Mark Melanson looks like an ugly dog. Mark
Melanson
is
horribly ugly.
Yeah, Melanson's not cute.
Looks like a bull.
Mark Melanson looks like he's been hit in the face with a shovel. So, but yeah. Yeah,
it's good. That's what I want my relievers to look like. I want them to be like ugly. Gross.
Yeah. I mean, like
the
John
Rocker. That's why Freddie Freeman's so good, because Freddie's not cute. Freddie's kind of ugly, you know? A lot of times, ugly guys are really good at baseball.
You know who's also not good looking? Is Trevor Bauer. He takes his hat off. He looks like the kid in third grade that would cover his hand in glue and eat it off.
He has the worst haircut ever. Yeah. It's like he just
like
buzzes
big,
his hair and
like
lets
like
it grow out in all different
directions. He actually gets it cut at Great Clips. I saw the vlog.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. His vlog is fantastic.
So
I love Trevor Bauer, dude.
We got to talk about it. Trevor Bauer being a dick coming off the mound, doing the chop.
It was awesome. I loved it. It was great.
So I love the personality. As a Braves fan, I hate him for it. Like, totally, you should do it. You should totally do it. And as a Braves fan, I should totally hate you.
Easy thing to do when you don't have to earn a receipt standing in the batter's box later on.
That's easy
to be like, hey, you good, the Braves, hey, you guys suck. Yeah, because you don't have to get up there and pay a price for it later on, punk.
Yeah.
But
I like
we take notes here. There's still a 2021
season. I like the
post-game
interview. Yeah, I like the post-game interview. And they asked Freeman about it. And Freddie Freeman said, oh, yeah, we saw everything you did. But he said, when you go 7 2/3 and you strike out 12 people, you can do what you want. But we took note of it all. We took notes.
He did say it like that. We noticed.
Yeah, we noticed. We didn't miss it. You know,
this is baseball.
Basically, the Braves aren't here to talk crap. They're here to beat the crap.
Assuming we get a full year next year and we get a regular season, it will be addressed. I have no doubt.
Yeah, I think somebody
will come back around. No doubt.
No, it won't. Nothing will happen.
Unless
we'll talk about it, nothing will happen.
Unless Trevor Bauer is a Brave and he's pitching for the Braves.
Well, then maybe it'll happen in batting practice or something.
Yeah, that's true.
If Bauer is a Brave, I honestly, like, I would feel bad for him because that means this. So I don't think Reds Twitter is super big, super active. I've trolled a little bit in that space. There's not a lot going on. There's a couple of libtards in there, but not a lot, right? If Trevor Bauer's a Brave and gets exposed to Braves Twitter, because he's pretty active on Twitter, honestly, I think he deactivates his Twitter account.
No, I think he roasts these 23 podcasts out here that are talking stupid crap about him. I think he would just roast the crap out of them.
And there will be certain members of Braves Twitter who will be brought to tears that they now have to pull for somebody who doesn't vote the way they do. And they will not be able to tolerate that. But this animal, this heathen, this Neanderthal plays for them, and they will not be able to reconcile.
That believes in low taxes.
He voted for somebody who's mean to people.
And no lockdowns and no mask mandates.
That being said, let's run through this real quick. The Twins are eliminated. Did you see that one coming?
18 straight postseason losses for the Minnesota. Can you imagine losing 18 straight postseason games?
That goes back to
2004. That's insane.
Good gosh.
And by the way, the Twins, I looked at their roster, none of them even look similar. What's up with that?
So, currently, the Cardinals are beating the Padres 6-4 in their opening game. It's in the top of the ninth, and the Cards have two on with one out. So, the Padres went from being one of the scariest teams in the playoffs to they lost Clevinger. And they lost Dennelson Lamet, two of their best starters, not even on the wild card roster.
I've never heard that name before in my life. It makes sense, and if you look at the order of the Catholic Church, Cardinals are up here. Padres, you know.
Yeah. I told y'all this was going to happen, though.
Hope they don't have to play the Saints, you know.
Where are the bishops?
I don't think they have.
I told you guys that this was going to happen. Y'all didn't really believe me, but I told you it's the Cardinals. They're going to figure out a way to win because they beat teams that are better than them in the postseason because Yadier Molina is like an anti-troll. Also, did you guys see the start of this Yankees Cleveland game tonight where they waited around for like 45 minutes to start the game in the sunshine and finally they started it in the rain and then paused the game before the first inning was done. Before the first half of the first inning was – or no, I guess they were in the bottom of the first inning, and they paused the game.
No, by the time this podcast comes out, I'm sure people will see it.
How did they build in for rain delays when they have this schedule with, like, no days off in the postseason?
Why would you even start a game, though, when the rain's supposed to be coming in? It makes no sense. It's ridiculous.
Are you ready? I got to go.
Okay, later, Josh.
What?
Yes,
ma'am.
Hey, Nicky.
the A's win to fight another day, almost lost to the White Sox, but because they do, the Braves start tomorrow at noon rather than 3:30. These are sucky times, man. I don't like starting at noon. It's rough. Luis Castillo versus Ian Anderson. Give me your predictions for the game, fella. What's it going to be like? What kind of game is it?
That Cardinals off or Cardinals, the Reds offense is not impressive. I think Winker was their leading hitter of the year, batting a robust .255. Ian Anderson shows his stuff again, goes like 6-7 strong, maybe giving up a run. Braves win 4-1.
Okay. What about you, Josh? What are you? I know you're going to be negative daily. Oh, okay. Later, Josh. Josh is already checked out on this episode, so you guys.
Well, then you know it's really baseball season once Josh is checked out.
You know it's baseball season when Josh checked out. That's right. So Josh's prediction for tomorrow will be that Brian Snicker is perfect, that the Braves win 9-0, and Josh can't say anything to correct what I'm saying right now. So there you go. My prediction is –
let me tell you, if you guys haven't found the Josh Brown YouTube channel on YouTube, by the way, you should guys subscribe. There are some gems
100%.
Out there. It's some of the best uncovered music I've ever heard. If you guys love – acoustical masterpieces. Check it out. What's that, Josh? Sorry, you left the show. I'm hearing a weird voice.
Yeah. Hello? Yeah. Check. One, two. I don't hear anything. It's outstanding. I can't hear him.
It's outstanding.
Yeah. You know, when people leave the show, it's easy to.
He does a cover of Coal Miner's Daughter. It's just him in the nude with, covered with a guitar, and it's outstanding.
It's fantastic, man. Like his little weenie wapping in the wind. You know, it's like that's it's the way it works. Hey, JT, when you look around, the Astros are in Correa's talking junk. They've
yeah,
embraced
I saw that.
The,
I saw that.
They've 100% embraced
full
the
heel
everyone
turn, man.
Hates
they've
us
joined
meme.
The Astros joined the NWO a long time ago, man. They have embraced this heel turn.
I kind of like it, man. I hate the Astros, and I still kind of like the fact that they're doing this.
I mean, because
what did they have to win? Like nobody's gonna like suddenly change size and pull for them. So you know,
love how he said, "What's everybody gonna say now? You finish with a losing record, and then you beat the Twins twice. Okay,
yeah.
Why don't you earn something before you say what are you gonna say now?
I like how he said that, like. We beat them at their place.
No
so
one's
what you
there
say now. Like we're not even cheating because we're at their place. Was like what he was implying, which I thought was really funny. Let's see. Anybody else get eliminated today, JT? I feel like they're not.
Blue Jays.
Marlins. Oh, the Blue Jays.
Blue Jays.
That's right.
This is the first
Tampa
time my dad let me know. First time in history, the Jays, Rays, and A's all made the playoffs, which is weird.
That is weird.
But yeah,
Tampa Bay. Whew.
Buzzsaw. Buzzsaw, for sure. That's a team, man. I picked them to win the American League, probably to win the World Series. That pitching staff, they can just throw them out there left and right. And they've got a team, 1-9, that just plays ball.
A Rosarina, man. I love that kid. He's so fun to watch play. He's going to be a superstar.
Glasnow pitched today, pitched real well. He was a guy that we saw early in the season. And, man, they got some dudes, for sure.
Yeah, Bo Bichette, man. He has an error. And after that, grand slam off of Ryu. Whew. That pretty much ended that game. It was already like 3-0, but whew, that just slaughtered it. What about the Fish, man? Marlins laying the smackdown on the Cubbies.
Yeah, man.
Way to go, Fish.
Yeah, teams like that don't know enough to know we shouldn't be playing this well, we shouldn't be here. Man, those are the teams that can be dangerous. They can get some momentum. And that's a team that's really familiar with the Atlanta Braves. Now, that can be a pro, that can be a con. We'll see, but
yeah,
I'm kind of pulling for the Cubbies to come back in that series just because I don't want to face a Marlins team with any sort of momentum.
Momentum, yeah, they don't lose in the playoffs. You know, they've never won the division and they've never lost in the postseason.
Yeah, no one's ever eliminated them before, so they don't know enough about losing.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Playoff Baseball Nakahoma Nation. JT, do you have any final closing thoughts for today and preparatory thoughts for tomorrow?
Let's go ahead and get it done in two. Let's get it so we can get the monkey off our back. Say we finally won a postseason series since 2001, since a month after September 11th was the last time they won. That's great. You know, we're starting at shortstop the last time we won a postseason game.
Ooh, 2003.
2001.
Rafael Furcal?
Ray Sanchez was the
Oh, wow.
Ray Sanchez.
Dirty Sanchez.
And Paul Bacco behind the plate. Paul Bacco. Yeah, so look, and hopefully that will allow us to loosen up and play a little bit. It was fun. This team is good when they're having fun and they're loose and they let their athleticism just shine. And so maybe that'll allow them to do that. So let's go ahead. Let's have some fun out there. Let's win. We're better than the Reds. Let's go out there, wrap it up, and have fun, and bring a World Series back to Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm not going to count us out in a 3-game series, but I do think the odds favor us if we in the second game more than they will in the third.
Yeah.
You know, just because I wouldn't tell Josh this, but Sonny Gray versus Kyle Wright does sound a little bit scary. So
I think the hard work is paying off for Kyle Wright. I think the light bulb's coming on, and
I think
he's
so
showing,
too.
Hey, this is why I was a fifth overall pick.
My final thought is this: Kyle Boddy or Bodie, however you say his name, freaking really good hire by the Cincinnati Reds. They hired him from Driveline, and he's made those pitchers really good. Lucas Sims came in, pitched well. That bullpen's pretty strong. They do what they do really well. And they're starting pitchers. I mean, obviously Trevor Bauer was fantastic, but that whole rotation's strong.
I say this now because they'll probably put up 12 runs tomorrow, but that lineup is not ferocious, and
no, it's not.
It's manageable. And look, I mean, this Ian Anderson kid, he comes out, plays the Yankees, plays the Red Sox. Those are his first starts, and he's
he ain't scared.
He's not scared.
He's gonna come
no,
out
he's
scared.
Not scared.
No.
And there's nothing in that lineup that quite frightens you. I say that now, knock on wood, but we'll see.
Those guys can hit home runs, but they don't hit for average, so, you know, you're worried about the one or two.
They remind me of watching a lot of early 90s Braves playoff teams.
They do feel that
way. Hey, man, they got three really good starters. Yeah, but the offense is, you know, middling.
It feels – they feel a lot like the team the year Kimbrel's left in the bullpen against the Dodgers. Right. Where, I mean, like, seriously, that's kind of the way they feel. Like, they feel like that's – they got some pop, but it's not great.
Yeah.
You know, Juan Francisco is on your team. You know, you're hoping for something, but it's like, you know, it's also a little bit cringy because you know this isn't going to be good in that matchup.
Right.
I look at the Braves and I'm like, you know, our starting rotation's not deep, but it can compete with the best.
Yeah, you know? And it can compete with this lineup for sure.
Yeah.
They're not overmatched, but we'll see.
My closing thought for today, if you are able to watch it, make sure you catch the post-game shows on Fox, because Paul Bird came out doing the Vince McMahon walk, and it was worth it just to see that. It was fantastic.
Paul Bird's a nut, and I say that in the best way possible.
Congrats to Kevin McAlpin on his new baby born today. Mia Marie, woo! Congratulations, Mr. McAlpin. He's our buddy. And a shout-out to him.
We can tell him, as parents of daughters, best of luck, buddy.
Best of luck.
Because little boys are one thing, but little girls, oh, man. You're in for a ride.
Well, that's going to do it. Thanks for listening. We will be here, rain or shine, tomorrow, talking about whatever happened in the game. Hopefully it's a Braves win, and we'll be celebrating. Drink one for us, and know we are thinking of you. Enjoy the games. Later.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.